all that, you know, he does. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. And let's pray. Father, we ask for the mind of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you fill this place with your understanding of the Word of God. Teach us. Even as we sang, show us Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Because when we see him, we know how to order our lives for his glory and for his honor. Pray for myself. Help me to clearly, rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, take away any barrier, language-wise, and anything that at the end your name receive the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in Ghana, I preach through an interpreter. Because in a normal service, you have a lot of people, you know, different backgrounds, different language. In fact, I think New York, we should start that, you know. And so I pause a lot for that person to speak. You know, so in case I don't preach as fast or as on rhythm as your pastor, forgive me, you know. But it will be all good, you know, it will be all good. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, we read this verse. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he has by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This is a description of a person that sometimes we don't take time to think about who he is. I know you've heard about whatever I'm going to say, you know, maybe from different accent, you know. But we are just going to talk about who Jesus Christ is. We live in days that people want to diminish Jesus Christ or misrepresent him. He is not who he claims to be. Or even if he is, you know what we do? Salvation, what do we say in salvation? It's Jesus Christ alone, right? Plus nothing, minus nothing. If you add Jesus Christ to anything for your salvation, you are not saved. You see, Jesus Christ, he said, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's no other name given among men whereby we might be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto this Father except through me. And so it is understandable. But when we become Christians, I think what we do is that we try to add Jesus Christ to some philosophies, some principles, some things that we will do so that our Christian life will work better. So have standards of a lot of things. It's my way or no way. It's Jesus Christ plus what I can do. Colossians says that as ye therefore has received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. My friend, the Christian life is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. It's not about what, it's not about how good I am. Because how good is good enough in the sight of God. And so I believe that is a subtle, you know, way the devil have infiltrated into the church. You know, gone are the days, you know, when you come to America, the saying is that they've taken the Bible, God, from the schools, right? It is not good. It is terrible, right? But you know the most dreadful ones is that Christians are taking Jesus Christ out from the churches. You go to a church, and hardly would you hear the name Jesus Christ mentioned. Hardly. Very subtle. And you go to a church, sometimes it's all about maybe music. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't hold on to standards and other things, but everything is about music. Where is Jesus Christ in that? You go to a church, and maybe you say everything is about culture. Oh, this is how our culture behaves. Well, when you got saved, you changed culture. You became a Christian. We are Christians. You know why they call them Christians? Because they behave like Jesus Christ. They talk like Christ. So if you get Jesus Christ out of your life, you have nothing. And I believe that our text presents us, the writer of Hebrew is trying to let them know that, my friends, there's no way apart from Jesus Christ. There's no life apart from Jesus Christ. There's no better things apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a means to something else. He is the thing that we look for. And that is what the writer wanted to point. So he's going to go through a lot of things, and he's going to say, Jesus is better than everything. Everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. You have life. If you have Jesus, you have God himself. You don't have a second being of God. If you meet Jesus, you've met God. And then sometimes too, as Christians, we differentiate. We kind of like put God somewhere and Jesus Christ is somewhere too. We are not practical Jehovah Witnesses, but in mindset we are Jehovah Witnesses. Because when we think Jesus, oh, he's God the Son, and if he's God the Son, then God the Father is greater than God the Son, and therefore God the Father created God the Son. Jesus Christ wasn't created. He's God. He's God. And so he began, and he said, yes, God has spoken to us in different times, diverse times. He has spoken. God is never quiet. There's no history that any time in history that God was quiet. He always speaks. But he says that today he has spoken to us through the best of the best, through Jesus Christ, his son. So when you see the word his son there, that is what he says, has in these last days spoken unto us by the Son. By Jesus Christ, we have everything. Whom he has appointed all things. Our Christian life is not matured if we miss Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Why did you see him every day of your life? When you see, the majesty, the glory of Jesus Christ is not up there, separated from my day-to-day living. It's not. It's together. You know, how I talk is because of the glory of Jesus Christ. How I relate to my spouse is because of Jesus Christ. Why I do what I do is Jesus Christ. Apart from him, none of us have anything to do. But sometimes we don't check him in, you know. We don't. You know when we check him in? When we are in trouble. He becomes a spare tire, right? You know, I didn't even know my vehicle, I didn't know it had a spare tire until one day I had a flat tire. And then I said, how can I get that spare tire down? And someone said, that's how we treat Jesus Christ. Oh, Jesus, I'm in trouble. Help me. And so it is scary to see that, you know, I tell people, everybody wants, now people want Jesus to become how they define him. Right? You know, everyone Jesus Christ on their own terms. Of course, who will not have that kind of Jesus Christ? If you give me a nice house, a good marriage, good children, a paying job, everything is going on well, who will not want this kind of Jesus? But he's not. He's not. He's way bigger and better. We forget the awesomeness, the beauty of God. He's more than what we can ever dream or imagine. We cannot even begin to scrap the glory of Jesus Christ. We cannot even begin. We have all the vocabularies in English, but we cannot describe how awesome Jesus Christ is. And he is your Savior. So how are you doing with Jesus Christ? I tell you, you can be wrong on a lot of things and still make it to heaven. You know that, right? You can be wrong on a lot of things and still go to heaven. But if you are wrong on Jesus Christ, you will not go to heaven. That's a big deal. So who is Jesus Christ to you? In your family, who is Jesus Christ? At the workplace, who is Jesus Christ? This is not about church. This is about my personal life. My relationship with my Creator. Who is He? So look at the text. The way that our text explains verse 3 is where we are actually going to concentrate. Who being the brightness of His glory. He used this phrase. That Jesus Christ is God. Period. He's not one of the gods. He's not a lesser God. He is God. If you meet Him, you've met Him. You've met God. You know, Philip came to Jesus Christ one time and said, show us God. Show us the Father. And we'll be okay. And Jesus Christ looked at him and said, have I been so long time with you and yet you do not know me? Wow. He that have seen me have seen the Father. For I am in the Father. And the Father is in me. There are so many mysteries in the Bible that we might never understand. But there is one thing that is never a mystery, and that is Jesus is God. He is God. That was the whole point why they killed him. Because he claimed to be God. God on earth. And so the word, the sun, you know, the brightness of his glory means the radiance. You know, like from him, light comes out. He is the one that have the source of our light. That's why John chapter 1, he said, and we beheld the glory as the only begotten of the Father. You want to see the light that comes from God? It's Jesus Christ. You want to describe God? Describe Jesus Christ. The God of the Old Testament that you saw, or when you read the Old Testament, you see the God, the Holy God, that is the Jesus Christ in the New Testament. There's nothing different. And He's our Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my Redeemer. He's my friend. And then He said that, you know, so when we behold the Son, we see the manifestation of the glory of God. Whenever you want to see God, go to Jesus Christ. He is. It's not they are. He is. And then He is the exact representation of God's nature. The same verse B says that He is the express image. It means He's the stamp. He's the stamp of God. If Jesus Christ is a stamp, if God is the stamp and you stamp Him, what you get out of it is Jesus Christ. He comes out alive. There, expression that shows that He is the God-bearer. He is Himself God, the very God. And that is why He told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. There's no division. And then Jesus Christ sustains the universe by His powerful word. He said, the existence, you see the order and everything. I know we have to take care of the earth, but we have somebody better than that. We have somebody better taking care of the earth. His name is God, Jesus Christ. And no matter what we do, we can do whatever we do not to pollute the earth and everything. But if Jesus Christ said, I'm done with the earth, it's gone into pieces. It's done. The Bible in Colossians said that by him all things consist. He holds everything together. By his words, he spoke, and things came to being. That is Jesus Christ. That is the person of the one that we serve every Sunday, every day of your life. You want to serve God? That is Jesus Christ. You want to honor God? Honor Jesus Christ. You want to obey God? Obey Jesus Christ. He is. He gave us God. He is the one that we can say that we can relate to God. Without Jesus Christ, we can never come to God. And do you know that because of Jesus Christ, you will see God one day in heaven when you see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne, because He is God. He is God. You know, and as I said, the Son, that's Jesus Christ, has power and authority. It is the greatest force in the universe. Consider the storm at the Sea of Galilee. You know, they were all, and that's a different subject. You know, they were in the boat, and they were like confused. They thought they were going to die. And Jesus Christ was just sleeping by them. You know, that reminds us of our personal life. Sometimes we are confused, we are disturbed, you know, we run here and there, trying to pull all things together, and Jesus Christ is just lying there for us. And then Peter have enough sense to say, "Carest thou not that we perish? How comes thou lie asleep?" That's the KJV. And Jesus Christ waked up and said, "What? Peace. Be still. Peace." You see, all that you are going through, it doesn't take a second in the life of Jesus Christ to say, "Peace. Be still." And then the sea calmed. And then he turned on them and said that, "You of what? Little faith." I don't know why he said that. Maybe in heaven we might find out. But do you think that if they haven't woke Jesus Christ up, they would have been drowned? No. They wouldn't have. The master of the ocean was there. They wouldn't have. I don't know. Maybe God wanted them to just keep quiet. Let the wind and the wave do whatever they want to do, but they cannot touch you. You are a child of God. And then he provides the final and complete cleansing for our sons. Do you know that it's because of Jesus Christ that you and I have the solution to sin? If Christianity is a religion, it is the only religion that have the answer to sin. No other religion have. Islam will say, "Do good." And you ask them, "How good is good enough?" You know, some of them will say, "You go back and come." You know, and you are thinking, what? It's a gambling game. But Christianity is a guarantee game. He said, when he has by himself, Jesus Christ, nobody forced him, purged our sin, came and died for us. Do you know that we didn't go to heaven and tell God, "You have to allow Jesus Christ to come and die for us"? We didn't. We are not his friends. We are enemies. And yet Jesus Christ came and died. He did it willingly. He laid down his life for us. When the soldiers came to arrest him, he told them, he said, "I could call 72,000 angels to come and rescue me here. I can do that." Now, you wonder what 72,000 angels can do on earth? Well, one angel in one night killed 185,000 soldiers. One angel in one night. I believe very strongly that if Jesus Christ would have said, "Okay, angels come," four angels that would have touched the earth, the rest wouldn't have come to meet the earth. But he said, "I lay down my life." When he by himself purged our sins. And today you and I, it doesn't give us license to sin, but we know that whenever we come to him, there is blood. No matter how strong your sin, you think your sin, no matter how wicked you think the sin is, no matter how far you think you've gone away from the Lord, he said there is enough blood to make you whole. He still turns his favorable eyes upon you because of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is everything. He's everything that we need. He's our high priest that finished his job and sat down waiting for us to come to him. To come to him. And then you think, this is so, there are so many scriptures in the Word of God that shows that Jesus Christ is God, not just this place. John chapter 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Wow. He said, and the Word became flesh, right? And dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. That is Jesus Christ coming. In fact, in John chapter 8, you know, he told them, he said, "Abraham longed, your father Abraham longed to see my days, and he saw it." And they said, "You are not even up to 50 years. How can you see Abraham? How can Abraham see your days?" And then he said, "Before Abraham was, I am. Now, you know English better than I do, right? You are English people, Americans. That was a wrong English, right? Before Abraham was, I am. You should have said before Abraham, I was. It's a past tense, right? You know, we'll not go into that English people. And now some of you are thinking too much. You don't think. But he said, I am that I am, Jehovah. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm God in the flesh, walking around you. You know, Thomas went to him and said, show us the way. You know, you said you are. And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. In him, Colossians chapter 2, dwelleth the fullness of God bodily. Everything about God dwells in him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth. This is Jesus Christ. Visible and invisible, whether they be dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things hold together. That is our God. His name is Jesus Christ. The Jesus that we belittle. The Jesus that we don't want to mention his name, among other stuff. The Jesus that sometimes, because of him, we come to church and we hardly put his names out. Don't be ashamed to mention the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to glory in Jesus Christ. That's why I said, you know, in my life, I tell people, I want to make God look good in my life. I want to make him be great in my life. Why? You ask me, it is because of him I have life. It is because of him. The economy, you think your economy is bad. It's bad. Come to Ghana. You know that, wow, our economy is, in fact, a taste of heaven on earth. But I don't live by the economy. I don't care who sells in the castle of Ghana. I don't care. Well, I vote. It's not that I don't care. But I know who calls the shots. My God. Jesus Christ. He's the one that calls. Can you imagine? The Bible said that he committed no sin. None. He didn't even think about it. He speaks, and the wind obey. You want to compare him with yourself? Go outside and speak. Let the wind obey you. Wow. In fact, all authorities in heaven, all and on earth, is given to him. He has all authorities. He has authority to forgive sin. He commands unclean spirit and they come out. He rebukes fevers, they depart. He calls the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, the lepers to make clean. In fact, he goes to a funeral home and the dead walked home alive. Is there anybody like Jesus Christ? Is there anyone that we can say he is close to even Jesus Christ? There is no one. There's no superhuman being on earth. You know, think about all the comics or all the movies you can put together. All of them, they cannot match. They cannot even scribe the power of my God. I don't need a Superman in my life. You don't. You need God. His name is Jesus Christ. So how do you do? In fact, the Bible says that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want wisdom and knowledge? Guess what? It's in Jesus Christ. His enemy said, no man ever speak like Jesus Christ. To know him is to know the unsearchable riches of God. And you know that the best thing, he's coming back, if you don't know, by the way. He's coming back to take us home, to be with him forever and ever. And then you even look at the reactions of people that encountered Jesus Christ, and it amazes you. And then I think of it, what is my reaction when I encounter Jesus Christ? I think of Abraham. And I told that Jesus Christ is the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 18, he said, I am but dust and ashes. When he met God, Jesus Christ. You know, I think of Moses in Exodus chapter 19, when the people cried, we want to talk to God himself. Show us your God. And God said, okay, I'll come down and you'll see me. The Bible said that the sight of that mountain was like a devouring fire, and they were dying. And he said, now you talk to God alone. And Moses himself quaked at the presence of God, Jesus Christ. He's not our buddy. He's not. He's not our buddy. He's not our playmate at all. Daniel, if there was ever a man that his sins were not recorded in the Bible, it's Daniel and Joseph. But Daniel, you see his life, you realize, wow, he was a man that everybody wants to be. But he said, when he met God, he said, my comeliness is turning me into corruption. I'm nothing. You remember the first time Peter met Jesus Christ at the fishing area? When Jesus Christ finished, and he saw who Jesus Christ was, what did he say? He said, depart from me. Leave me alone. Why? Because I am a sinner. And later on, he will confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The beggar said, you are the Son of David. The soldier at the cross said, truly, this is the Son of God. So when we encounter Jesus Christ, what is our response? Do we just go flippantly and think, oh, that's Jesus? Hey, Jesus. Or do we take a moment and say, that is my God. I need to listen to him. I want to close with some of our responses that we need to respond to God, to Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ, who is the brightness of the glory of God, the express image of God himself, that when you meet him, Isaiah said that for unto us a child is given, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is Jesus Christ. He was describing. What is our response to him? The one that will never leave you or forsake you. Do you know that he will never misjudge you? He doesn't misunderstand you. He has time for you, no matter when. You can wake up at any time and Jesus Christ will be there to answer you. No matter how dirty you think you are, he is there for you. He is there. The only one that loves you the way you are. The only one that knows how terrible you are and still loves you. Do you know that if you know me, who I am, you might not want me to preach on this pulpit? That's a fact. We are human beings, right? But when God knows you, he knows who you are, and he still loves you perfectly. If you are his son, it never diminishes. How can we respond to this person who constantly says, I love you. When you are depressed, I love you. When the economy is hard, I love you. When you cannot shake off a disease in your life, he said, but I love you for perfect love. I see some pictures here. I see a picture, some beautiful picture. And Jesus Christ gave us some of them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. I see the picture of a treasure. That our response to Jesus should be like a treasure. A supreme treasure. You know, he said again, Jesus Christ gave a parable. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man, you know, a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man has found, he hide, and for the joy thereof, go and sell all that he has to buy that field. So this is what the man saw. He saw a treasure on the field. He went and sold everything just to have it. So our response to Jesus Christ should be the treasure of selling everything to have Jesus Christ. The treasure that he is more than anything that I ever need in my life. That in finding that treasure and the joy that comes with that treasure, we are willing to part away with anything in our lives. It is in the joy of having Jesus that we sell all. There is no treasure better than Jesus Christ. No treasure. There's none. Apart from Jesus Christ, in fact, there's no treasure. You know, somebody told me that, I don't think you enjoy life. I said, really? What do you mean? Well, you don't drink, you don't go to the bars, you know, all those. I said, wow, that's a terrible life to live. I said, let me tell you, I enjoy life more than you because I speak to Jesus Christ every day. The Bible says that, you know, the songwriter put it, he said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is on the roses. And the voice I hear calling all, you know, all my ears, the Son of God, he said, and he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. I said, I told him that I have answers to life solutions, life's problems. I have answers to that. So that's the picture I see. Treasure. We sell all to have Jesus Christ. Is there something in our life that we said, it's keeping us from having the treasure Jesus Christ this morning? He's saying it's not worth it. If you have Jesus, you have everything. John chapter 6, verse 35, give us another picture of food and drink. Food and drink. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. And he that believe on me shall never thirst. Food and drink. Is Jesus Christ my food and drink? Does he satisfy me? Is he enough? The songwriter said, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He's more than life to me. He said, hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long have craved. Jesus satisfies my longings. There are so many thirst quenchers in the world. Turn to this, turn to media, turn to this. And I think, you know, it's great for what has happened, you know, in the history of America. I don't know much about it, so maybe I cannot talk much about it. But if you are not satisfied with Jesus Christ, that's nothing. They can overturn it, you know that. If you are not satisfied with Jesus Christ, if you don't, you know, the food that you can eat and eat and eat and never care for your diet is eating Jesus Christ every day. He said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy living, and I what? I'll give you rest. He said, if any man thirsts, it's free. You don't need to get money to buy. He's so nutritious, so beneficial to our souls that we are satisfied with him to the degree that we enjoy Jesus every day. Every day of your life, you can enjoy him. Every day. Add him to your meal. Add him. Eat him up. He said, I'm the bread of life. The other picture I see is Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Jesus Christ, once again speaking. You know, sometimes people say the Christian life is very hard. It is not hard. It is impossible. It is not hard. It is impossible. If you do it on your own, it's frustrating. But if you turn to Jesus Christ, he lives the life in you. Because he is good at living his own life. He said this. He said, he that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. This is not Matthew saying it. This is not me. This is Jesus Christ himself. And he said, he that loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Love. Affection. Where's our affection? I love my wife. I hope he knows. She knows that I love her. She knows. Right now, my wife will not call me, but, you know, I have my phone here. If my wife called me, guess what? I will stop the preaching and go and pick the call. I want to hear from her. I want to see her. We love each other. I love my children. You know, I love Carolinda. Carolinda has a, like, what they call cerebral palsy, mild one. And she cannot walk or talk. She's 4 years. But we love her. You know, we play with her. She loves. I love her. If it's in my power, I'll move everything to help her. But Jesus Christ said, if my love for Jesus Christ doesn't supersede this, I'm not worthy of him. Wow. I cannot love my wife more than Jesus Christ. I can't. I cannot say because of my wife, I cannot worship God. I can't. To be worthy means to place a price on something. The worth of it. So he's saying that, look, all of them should pay when it comes to my love. By the way, do you know that Jesus Christ, the way he loves you, nothing can separate you from that? He will never divorce you. He will never give you heartaches. You know, he will not do that. In fact, Romans said that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or persecution or distress or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then he said, I am persuaded, I am moved, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me. He said, you cannot take yourself out from the love of Christ. You can't. And then he said, we should love him. Sometimes Christians say that nobody loves me. No one cares for me. It's not true. Jesus Christ cares for you. He loves you. And so my love for Jesus should be more than them all. Period. If not, he said that I am not worthy. That's a picture, a very beautiful picture of our relationship with God. Then Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul is speaking. He's comparing Jesus Christ. The picture that he has there is excrement, dung. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. He said, you want me to compare Jesus Christ to something else? There's nothing. Put everything, put all the wealth in the world together, all the academic stuff that I, Paul, have gotten, all the churches I've planted, all the Christians I have helped. When it comes to my love to Jesus Christ, they are all nothing. Excrement. The infinite preciousness of Jesus Christ is so great that you consider everything as dung to have Jesus Christ. And then lastly, he puts it, death wish. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And this is where I believe myself, you know, Christians, we hang on, death wish. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, if I'm living right now, it's because of Jesus Christ. If I die, who cares? I'm gaining. I'm going to heaven. But then he said, for I am in great, I'm between two thoughts, having the desire to depart. I want to be with Christ. Which is far better. You know, right now, do you want to go to heaven? Right now. Do you want Jesus Christ to come? Christians, we have so many stuff that we don't want the trumpet to sound. We have so many things that we want to enjoy on earth that if Jesus Christ comes here today, he is messing up our program for us. And God says that, look, he said it's far better. You know, I use it as I'm like me. You know, I'm here. It's needful that I'm here. I'm thankful I'm here. You know, I'm talking to you. You know, I'm seeing my friend. It's good. It's needful. But you know, the far better one is for me to be with my wife right now in Ghana. Look, if somebody comes and said, hey, everything is done, go to Ghana right now, I'll not say, oh, no, I want to do this. No. I say, thank you. And I'm gone, right? I don't care whether I sit at the first class or the economy or the last, you know. I just want to be home. And that's what Paul is saying here. It is needful that we as Christians are here. But if there's a wish in our lives, we should wish that we are with Jesus Christ. And by the way, do you know that every day of your life, you can be with Jesus Christ? Every day. When you wake up, in the afternoon, in the evening, at your workplace, wherever you are, you can be with Jesus Christ. That's the awesomeness of our God. So we have to desire him so supreme, as a supreme treasure, that we sell all things to have him. We have to desire him as our thirst quencher and soul satisfier, that we turn away from all worldly fountains of food and drink, so that we will be satisfied by Jesus Christ alone. We have to desire him as a family, more than our family member, that our affection to him surpasses all our family loved ones. We have to desire him as a supreme value, that everything in comparison to him is done. It's nothing. So, let me conclude by saying that Jesus Christ is not somebody else. He's God. He's the El Shaddai. He's the Jehovah. He's the Elohim. He's our Shammah. He's our friend. He's the God that, he's the CEO of the universe. He created the universe. He pulls the shots. It's not anyone that pulls the shots. If he says it's not him, it's not him. Whatever Jesus Christ don't know does not exist. He allows things to happen. He's never confused with life and all that is happening. He created the universe by himself. He loves us so much that he came and purged our sins, you know, gave us tickets to come to heaven. And every day of our lives, we can have relationship with him. And we should never be ashamed of calling his name wherever we go. Let your children know that it's Jesus Christ. Let your parents know that it's Jesus Christ. The boss, the ungodly person, mention Jesus Christ to him. Don't care about what he will say, yeah, political, whatever you call it. I might lose my, you will not lose your job. You will not. Because when we begin to magnify Jesus Christ in our lives, do you know what he does? He draws men. He said it in John chapter 12. He said, when I'm lifted up, I will draw men to you. And I trust that as a church, we are lifting up Jesus Christ on this premises. That yes, we are concerned about everything, but the one thing that if you come to this church, you will know is that Jesus Christ is the King of this church. And not only as a church, but as individuals' life. That if you step into my house, you will know that there's somebody that rules in this house. His name is Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of that. Put him everywhere. You know, and let the world know that you serve an omnipotent God. His name is Jesus Christ. And let's respond to him rightly as a treasure, as a food and drink, family affection. Now, if I compare him with everything, nothing can stand with him. And oh, I wish